As they are getting signed in, if you want to just grab your bulletin, I've got a few things there for you. First of all, there will be a passage where we're going to take a look at, and if you want to take notes, I would encourage you to do that as well. But I just want to also just highlight a few things for you. If you have a mailbox, you're going to want to check that. There's some of you have envelopes there that have been there as long as I have been here, so you'll want to check that. But also, there is some stuff there that you'll probably want to have for your taxes and such, so we'll check that out if you will. You'll want to come on Tuesday. Tuesday is another information meeting, and the elders will be giving you an update. The search team will be giving you an update. The polity leader will be giving you an update on lots of stuff. So I'd encourage you to come. It starts at 6:30, usually done by 8. If it goes long, it'll be 8:30, but it's usually done by 8. So I would encourage you to come to that as well. And there was one more, and I can't think of what it was, but it'll come to me. Oh, okay. Family Day. That wasn't it, but that's a good one. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Mark. Mark chapter 12. We have been taking a look at your values, and we covered your first value of aspiration of unity and what God has to say about biblical unity and how important that is. And we are now taking a look at outreach, which was another big value that you had put down on your stickies and how important it is. And so last week, we looked at the Great Commission and how important Jesus asked us to carry on that mission. We do not know who Jesus Christ is drawn unto himself, and so therefore he asks us to go and share the gospel and to be a witness and to be a light. And it's very, very important that we carry that on, that he passed that on to the disciples, and he passed it on to us. As I was preparing for this message, one of the things that came up to me was a TV show that I often enjoyed watching. And the statement went like this: "Heidi ho, neighbor." Any of you remember who that said that? Maybe you remember this friendly welcome from the TV show Home Improvement. Home Improvement. Tim Taylor, a little bit of redneck in him. Usually was out in his backyard. He's working out a dilemma that occurred to him or to his family. And Mr. Wilson, you would never see him, but you would see the top of his hat, and he would lean over the fence, and he would acknowledge him with this greeting: "Heidi ho, neighbor." And then Mr. Wilson would quote some little known philosopher to help solve Tim's problem. And when Tim wasn't getting it, Mr. Wilson would give him the sound and wise advice that it'll always work out in the end. And as I was thinking about that, I think we would all like to have and love to have a Mr. Wilson living next door to us so that we could go to him with our problems, and after spouting off some ancient jargon, he would remind us that we, where we're at and what advice was best for our situation. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. I want to expand upon this because it's important, very important piece for us. A teacher of the law came and asked Jesus a question. Now, I'm not thinking Jesus is Mr. Wilson, okay? But a scribe, a teacher of the law, came and he asked Jesus a question. And look what it says here, chapter 12, verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Notice that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked them another question. Of all the commands, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then Jesus goes on. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, said the teacher. The man replied, you are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Jesus had told this scribe, this teacher of the law, the two greatest commandments are to love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, followed by loving your neighbor as yourself. So I want to explore, what does it look like to love our neighbors as ourselves? That's the question that I want us to answer and look at. Let me give you a little bit of background, a little bit of context of where this is sitting. The teacher of the law, some of you have another translation, you might say a scribe, possibly a Pharisee, came to Jesus. The scribes had determined that the Jews were obligated to obey 613 precepts in the law. 613. And they pride themselves on following them. It's 365 were negative precepts, and 248 were positive. And one of the favorite exercises that the scribes and the Pharisees, teachers of the law, they liked doing was discussing which of these divine commandments was the greatest. They loved getting into those theological debates. And Jesus' response went much deeper than the distinction between small and great commandments. When Jesus answered, he quoted Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, you're going to want to turn there just real quickly, and let me just read that for you. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. Says this, but all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord God commanded me, so that you may follow them as you enter into to take possession of it. They're careful, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who hear about all these decrees and sayings. Surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. Jesus was here, was laying out the great confession of the faith. Jesus also quoted Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, which emphasized a love for the neighbors. For Jesus, the whole law was summarized in the will of God, which calls for the love, which is a wholehearted response to God and to neighbor. The most important thing to Jesus was love. Important thing in life. If we love God, we will experience His love within, and we'll express the love to others. One commentary put it this way: we do not live by rules, but by relationships. A loving relationship to God that enables us to have a loving relationship to others. We actually have here our personal mission statement. You as a church have a mission statement. And just as the church body has a mission statement, this is a personal mission statement for each one of us that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we see that in verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. It's a command that Jesus gave. And each one of us, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we need to be working towards this. We need to be working towards loving the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. God is to have the supreme place in our life. No other love can be allowed to compete against the love of God. We are to love God more than ourselves. And the life that really counts is concerned first with God. First with God. It's very interesting that after the scribe heard what Jesus had to say and the answer he gave, the scribe agreed with him. And he stated with clarity that the love of God and one's neighbor were far more important than rituals. And you see that in verses 32 and 34. You see, the scribe realized that people could go through religious ceremonies. They could put on a public display of piety, of inward and personal holiness. But God knew the heart. The scribe acknowledged that God is concerned with what a person is inwardly as well as outwardly. And so when we start off in looking at this verse, this is each one of our personal mission statement. It's not talking about the body as corporate, but each one of us. So what does this mean to love your neighbor as yourself? When we look at these words, and when Jesus spoke these words, what he is saying is that our words and our actions to God and to those around us are more valuable to God than what any of us can give in our other offerings. In other words, he's asking for us to love our Lord and our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And no matter how much you put in the offering plate, doesn't equal that. No matter how much good you do, if you don't do those two, doesn't equal it. If we love God with everything and share that love with those around us, this is the greatest offering that we can give and that God has asked for. When we place God above all else and share His love with those around us, it pleases Him. to really grab hold of this. When we see and understand and experience that great love that God has for us, for you, for me, that Jesus willingly came to the cross and he died and he took upon himself my sin, your sin, to free us from our sins, so that you and I can be the person that God wants us to be, and we share that love because we've experienced it, we've seen it, it's been applied to our life. When we share that love with those around us, this pleases God. Very important. The life that really counts is concerned first with God and then with others. How much do we love God? How much do we love God? Are we guilty of looking down on those that are not like us? You see, what Jesus here is saying is about a passion and passionate about Jesus and a compassion for the world. Listen to your mission. Purposefully creating a community where we pursue Jesus together. By inviting our neighbors to join us in following him and become more like him. And how are we to do that? Through the use of our spiritual gifts, our talents, our abilities, and resources. Every ministry that you do should be application of your mission, should be application of Mark chapter 12. Of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Join us in following Jesus, becoming more like him. Every ministry, whether it be CE, whether it be 180, as you're reaching out, whether it be 360, whether it be the ladies' Bible study, whether it be your Bible studies you're doing in your homes, everything should be funneled through that. Who is our neighbor? During Jesus' time, the world was a little bit smaller. The neighbor would have been the village that you lived in, those you associated with in business. In our day and age, with technology, with the fact that we could be here and travel to another country in a few short hours, our neighbors expand. If you live in town, this would be those in your neighborhood. For those of you who live outside of Padoka, this would be those living around you. In Jesus' eyes, when he was speaking, a neighbor is everyone who has breath, because Jesus Christ created them and died for them. Every single one. And we don't know who they are. And that's why God asks us to share the gospel with him, with them. Because they may be on that journey. And God is calling them. And we need to be faithful to that calling, that prompting, that leading, to share the gospel. Anyone who has a pulse is your neighbor. And wants and needs to be loved as you love yourself. In other words, everyone around us. Maybe God has placed you in a situation where you have to love your neighbor as yourself, whether you want to or not. Maybe you have that person that just grates you the wrong way. It's interesting that Jesus did not expand upon the fact of what he meant by loving yourself. Because we all love ourselves. We don't have to be taught that. So what does it look like to love your neighbor as yourself? How do I love my neighbor? It's application time. It's application of taking what God is saying now and putting it into place. Say hello or smile. Or even use that little jargon, "Heidi ho, neighbor," as you walk up to the till. To your neighbor. To the cashier person. To the waitress. To anyone. When we lived in Grand Prairie, it was not uncommon when we talked with others, when I talked with others, to ask if they have ever spoken to their next door neighbor. And if they were honest, they would answer by saying that they have never spoken to their next door neighbor. When Colleen and I got there, we were considered the older group of our mid-30s, upper 30s. The average age was 25. The mayor was 26. They opened up the garage and they backed out. They went to work. They opened up the garage. They drove in. That was it. They did not meet their neighbors. Even within churches, it got that way. What Jesus here is saying is we need to get to know our neighbor. Have you had a cheerful conversation with your coworker? Maybe your school teachers. Or your children's friends, their parents. You see, sometimes saying hello and smiling, even though it seems simple, even though it seems like that's it, it doesn't need to be complicated, but it could mean the world to that person who might be going through a dilemma that Tim was always going through. You could ask them if you could pray for them. This is another one. Again, it doesn't need to be awkward. As you smile and as you get to know them, as you move past the pleasantries, you will find some common interests in their life. You'll even hear some of their concerns or their needs that are in their life. It's very interesting as it doesn't take long as you get to dive into asking questions, how quickly they open that up. Ask them if you could pray for them. You might do that right then and there, but you might do it later as to not embarrassing them. And then when you see them next time, you can follow up with asking, how's that situation going? Where's that problem? You never know until you ask. And what we saw with Matthew chapter 28 is that we're not doing this in our strength. We're not doing this in our power. It's all of the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that moves. It's the Lord that moves through us. The third thing that you could do, and again, it's not rocket science, but its application, it's the desire of yours to do this. Help your neighbor or your coworker. There's many of us that don't like and don't feel comfortable talking to others. And so let your actions speak louder than your words. And many of you do this as I've gotten to know you, as I spent time with you. Many of you do this in so many ways. Cutting grass for someone who's not able to, shoveling the driveway or plowing out the driveways, bringing a meal to a family with a newborn baby, or a meal where there's a death in the family, or where there's sickness in the family. Might even invite him over for a meal. And if you're not comfortable with that, may I encourage you to take them out for a meal. Or bring a meal in. Skip the dishes. Some of you even put out a bowl of water in the summer for dogs to drink by as their owners are walking by. Some of you even gone a little bit further and you have a little jar with cookie snacks for the dogs. It's interesting listening to the stories. A great way to start a conversation. A great way to get to know your neighbor. Neighborhood's kitchen that meets here Monday. Again, a great way. You may not like talking, but you could help. You could serve. Helping in areas of the children's ministry or in junior youth. You see, simple acts lets a person know that you care and showing them that the love of Christ has for them. Why are you doing this? Why would you be doing that for me? It gives you an opportunity just to share what God's done in your life. It doesn't need to be long. The next thing you could do is invite your neighbor. Invite your neighbor. May I have been encouraging you, and I want to encourage you again. Invite your neighbor to family day tomorrow. Come out. There's great food. There's a lot of warmth. There's a great toboggan hill. It looks like a ski hill, but it's a toboggan hill. It's got some safe runs, and it's got some experience runs. Invite them out to the church camp out. Many of your friends go camping. Invite them out. It doesn't need to be awkward. They like playing games. They like having fun. They like sitting around the campfire. Invite them out to the sleigh ride. To your house for different holidays. And if you don't want to, then take them out. There are so many different activities that this body, this church body, offers. It is not so they come to this church. It is so that they come to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and strength, just like you do. That they too then will turn around and love their neighbor as themselves. This is why God has given this to us. The most important thing is sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel is showing love to your neighbor. It is going beyond just giving them a sandwich and warmth and food. It's going beyond that. People are looking for and they're searching for hope. Hope. Write down Romans chapter 15, 13. Hope. People are searching for hope in a world of chaos, in a world of division. They're searching for peace. John chapter 14, verse 27. They're looking for peace. They want peace. They're also looking for purpose. What's life all about? They're looking for purpose. And we have that through Christ. We have it at our disposal. We have it right here in His Word. Three simple things that people are looking for. And it doesn't take long to find out where they're at. Jesus told us in these few short verses to love our neighbors as ourselves. To the extent to how much we love God, that's how much we'll love our neighbor. If we don't love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we won't care about our neighbor. We'll fall into the same philosophy and same thinking of the world, me, myself, and I. Look after number one. And it's not just to our best friends, but it's those who pass by that we never talk to. Those are our neighbors. As we think about this, my encouragement as you put into application your mission, as you think about this, as God puts you in different situations, be a caring neighbor who wants to let everyone know that you love God and love others. Be a caring neighbor. Put into play so that they too may love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let me just pray. As we do so, I remembered what I was supposed to remember earlier. As I was looking around, we have a baby dedication end of March. If any of you, new mothers, parents, dads, would like to have that, please come and see me. Be glad to put that into play with others that are doing that. That'll be coming up as well. Let me just pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how it encourages us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And how much we love you, Lord, let us just pour that out upon others, that they may just see that we love them, that we care for them. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being our Lord and our Savior, and thank you that we do this not in our own strength, but in your strength, Lord, and in your power. And we just pray these things in your name. Amen.